Time now on the Bonanza pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratori, head coach of the Beavers. Tom, how does two sweeps in February differ in feeling for a coach than, say, two in October?
Well, they both stink, Schulze, but obviously when you get one in February, there's so much at stake at that particular time because you're kind of jockeying for positions in the standings. So no, obviously you feel a little bit more because again it's probably the timing of the year.
You've been without Jerry Fitzgerald now for over a month. It's not a shock your offense has taken a little dip in how dynamic it is. How can a coach put the guys that he does have healthy in a good spot to be able to succeed without a guy like Jerry?
Well, it's hard. They got to do it. I can put them in a spot, but they got to get it done. And you can get by with a guy like Jerry out of the lineup for a game or two, but long term, it's very difficult to have your high end guys out of the lineup because the biggest thing what it does it puts your power play in a predicament because he's obviously the catalyst of our power play. It goes through him, and that makes things a little more difficult. But injuries are all part of the game, Schulze, and we got to deal with it.
Jay Deckman's only scored 2 goals in his last 10 games. Teams are paying an awful lot of attention to him in front of the net. How can the other 4 guys on the ice with him draw some of that pressure away?
Well, again, it's not easy, but we got to get Dickie the puck at times, and a lot of his success is on the power play right there, and we got to try to get him the puck, and he's got to be in a spot where sometimes again there's some loose change in front of the net, but people are going to go through those droughts, and you just hopefully again there's a time you get out of it and you get on a little bit of a roll, and you get more consistent scoring out of everybody.
Team practiced in Coleraine yesterday on the way here. You got to talk shop with some buddies from back there. You were talking about some of the things you've noticed on video as far as passing up sure shots on goal. Can you share with the listeners what you shared with those guys and what you saw in film?
Well, it's not even film as much as in practice sometimes. Here's my theory. Why pass up a shot on net? So you got 100% opportunity. 100% opportunity to get a shot on net, but you'll take a 20%. You'll make a 20% play. 20% play that you might be able to convert. You have to force a puck through a defenseman's stick, skates, whatever, and you'll pass up 100% shot to try a 20% play. And I use the analogy that would be like Tom Brady being able to go 10 yards downfield, have somebody wide open, get a first down, but he's going to throw 40 yards downfield into coverage, hoping that obviously, again, he can hit a home run. And we all realize if he's going to throw downfield into coverage, chances are he's not going to convert. Once in a while, you're going to. But by and large, make the high percentage plays all we're talking about. And sometimes you got to hit singles and doubles. You don't need to hit home runs every time. And, that's kind of our analogy a little bit.
Are goalies so good that guys think they have to do something, quote-unquote, fancy or out of the box to get one past them?
No, not really. I don't know. Maybe they think that way, but they shouldn't. I think sometimes, again, they watch too much TV and they watch too much NHL. And it's just amazing how many times a player will pass up a quality shot. And you just can't pass up a quality shot. You just can't. Again, any shot on goal is good. And a lot of times, I think we all realize, if you get a shot on net, there's a good chance you might get a second shot on net. So you just have to make sure, again, you have to play the percentages. And, again, if you've got a 100% pass or a 100% shot, I just think you got to take it over a 20 or 30%. You just have to play the odds.
More with Coach Ceratori when we return the Bonanza pregame show on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bonanza pregame show, part 2 with head coach Tom Ceratori. Winter Carnival is one of the toughest and most enjoyable environments that there is in college hockey, Tom. Your seniors played here as freshmen, so the other guys haven't experienced what it will be like. What have you done to get those freshmen, sophomores, and juniors ready for it?
Not much, Schulze. We talk about it. You heard me today, even before the, right after the morning skate. You just talk about it and just say it's going to be an electric atmosphere. It's going to be fun. It's a fun environment. This is a hockey rink, and that's the one thing, the beauty of this place, it's a hockey rink, and I always compare it to Wrigley Field and Fenway Park, and it's a great environment for the fans. It's a great rink, and this is why you play games. I mean, games like this are so fun to play, and they're very memorable when you look back on things.
If you had to rank the toughest places to play in college hockey, and I realize you haven't been to all of them, but you've been to a lot of them, what would be your top 2, 3, or 4?
Well, I mean, Engelstad's very difficult, I think. Mariucci, just with the big ice. Mariucci can be brutal. It can be tough on you. St. Cloud, pretty difficult. And I've never played in Cornell, but I've heard Cornell, You know, it's very difficult to win in Cornell. Just the style, you know, the style they have, the rink, and they got a lot of big, strong guys with really with no corners. So probably, again, you know, those three or four I mentioned. And, you know, this place isn't easy either, but at least it's regulation. It's regulation, and, you know, that helps.
The Olympics have begun. Former goalie Matt Dalton playing with the South Korean team. I forget all of the logistics of how that happened, but how did it?
Well, I don't even know all the logistics, but I think basically in a nutshell, they wanted some North Americans. I think most of them, if not all of them, are I know Test Wheaty from Denver's there too. So, but they wanted some North Americans, and you know they were granted their passports, and I think they wanted to make sure that since they were hosting the Olympics, they wanted to try to be somewhat competitive. So, you know, Matt and a handful of North Americans got their passports. And, you know, they have the opportunity of competing in the Olympics. So we're going to pay special attention to that.
Playing for your home country obviously would trump this. But playing in the Olympics, no matter who you're playing for, is awfully special, isn't it?
Absolutely. Very special. And, you know, what an opportunity. What an opportunity for him. And that's one thing, hockey players, there's a lot of hockey players that get their passport. A lot of them have their European passport, and they've competed for other countries in the Olympics. And, you know, it's just for him, it's just, you know, it's like the cherry on top of the sundae when he probably looks back at his hockey career. And he's very fortunate to have this opportunity.
What are your thoughts on the NHLers not being a part of it this year?
I don't know, Schulze. Somebody asked me that last night, too. And I'm probably indifferent. I think I'm so wrapped up in the Beavers right now, I really haven't thought too much about it. But I think I don't mind it right now. I'm not saying long term. I don't know where I feel about it long term, because it's still nice to have those NHLers in the Olympics. It adds a little bit. But I also kind of like right now the purity of what they're doing right here with you know, with the other players playing in the Olympics. And I do understand the NHL standpoint, the owners, you know, from their standpoint. I mean, you know, they have a, you know, whether it's a $5, $6, $7, $8, $9 million asset playing in the Olympics, and you know they're there for 2 weeks, and they have to come back, and what if they get injured? Yeah, you know, then they're coming back, they're tired, and so I don't know where I'm at with all this, but I'm kind of excited to see how things play out in this Olympics.
Well, at least it's an even playing field, right?
Well, I heard it's not. I think Russia's pretty good. They got Datsyuk. They got Kovalchuk. They got a few guys who are playing in the Continental Hockey League who are pretty good. But you're right, Schulze. It's probably as level of a playing field as you can get. And there's a few countries that Briss probably have a they've got a few more names on their roster. But overall, you're right. It's probably pretty even.
On to tonight. What does Tech do best?
Well, they skate well. They skate extremely well. They play with a high pace, and they got a good defensive core. A very good defensive core. So, no, it's just I think actually Schulze, they're two very similar teams. You know, I'm not going to say we mirror each other, but, you know, they pressure the puck. We pressure the puck. We want to get up and down the sheet. We feel, again, the strength of our team is our defensive core and our goaltending. And, you know, the strength of their team is their defenseman as well. So, and they've got they're deep up front. They've got a lot of veterans. So, very similar styles and very similar teams.
Best of luck tonight.
Thanks, Schulze.
Tom Cerutori, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.